Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Pre-owned inventory, look, you want to ease that buying process. That's why you want to get the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Jokic just gets it off in time. It's up. Oh, it's good! Of course it goes in! Jokic from downtown! Anthony Davis just stares at him!
See, that's what...
Head northeast that, on Chaumont
what,
Avenue.
That's what... That's
Captain
what,
Parker's
whoops.
Pub, maybe.
That's what MVPs do, man.
Yeah, I hope MB was watching him.
Well, no, I mean, Jokic has won it twice. He's, you know.
And that's how you pass the basketball, too.
Well, you know what? He passes the ball, all kidding aside now, about MVPs and Silva. I could care less about that. Just a joke. But he passes the ball better than most point guards do. I mean, if I have to make a pass, do I want him throwing the pass or, for example, a guy like Marcus Smart? I don't want Jokic throwing the pass. Pinpoint. He leads guys into their shot. Wow. Good rebounder. Just, you know, terrific all-around player. And I really liked LeBron James' answer in the post game. They asked about what they can get out of the comeback they made, and he goes, "We lost." He says, "Nothing." So I've been, you know, in other words, I've been here 1,000 times. It doesn't mean anything. We got to win game two. I mean, you know, to me, that's the answer. I mean, that's the answer. You know, what do you get out of it? Don't think so much. Didn't win. Yeah. Got to play game two. And that is how it plays out. And he's right about that. All right, so let's get into a couple of things here. First of all, the draft lottery. What's interesting about the NBA draft is that we've heard a lot about Victor Wembanyama. But, I mean, none of us have really, except for highlights, none of us have ever really seen him play. He's 7'5", maybe almost 7'6". It looks like he has guard skills. He can block shots. He can drive to the bucket. He looks like a good passer. He's an excellent face-up shooter. There's a lot of things to him. And they feel that in 3 years, he's the face of the league. That's what they think. Now, we'll find out. San Antonio got him. Charlotte goes second. There's a lot of talk they may go with Brandon Miller of Alabama, who's a high-wire act that can shoot threes and drive and dunk and has great wingspan. The next three guys are all guys I don't know much about. They're all in G League Ignite, and this is the difference between football and basketball right here. In football, it's you have to be in school, or you know, you can't be eligible for the NFL draft till you're 3 years out of high school. Okay. Football doesn't have options. It's not as if there's, you know, because, you know, the XFL doesn't take underclassmen. The USFL doesn't take underclassmen. And there really aren't any options for football players except for college. Basketball has options. Lots and lots of options. That's why they, in part, they didn't feel like, hey, let's go to the, let's let 18-year-olds into the league and, you know, and we're going to hold everything up if you don't. And finally, the Players Association listened to their rank and file and said, hey, look, what about us? We're the ones paying the dues. Why do you keep wanting to push to get 18-year-olds in that might take our jobs? And in the end, they listen to their rank and file. It's a point that we've made on this show for years about the NBA. You know, they keep pushing the Players Association to get 18-year-olds in. And I said, wait a minute, the 18-year-olds don't pay any dues. The dues-paying guys are the ones that are going to lose their jobs. And they finally did listen to that logic, and they didn't go down that road. But here's the difference. Basketball has all sorts of options. I mean, Victor Wembanyama is already making money in France. He already is. The Thompson twins, and is it Brock Henderson, I believe is his name, from G League Ignite. And right, you can go to the G League, and you can make some cash, and then you can get to the NBA draft. Now, Miller, obviously, the only thing Miller can do is make NIL. But there are guys like LaMelo Ball. He played in Europe for a year. Then he went to the NBA draft. And by the way, Charlotte has the second overall pick. You know, they can pick Miller to go with Ball if they want. RJ Hampton, he was going to go to SMU, ended up playing in New Zealand. So you've got options that you don't have in football. So it also brings with it a mystery as to, or it's Scooter Henderson, that's who it is. It brings with it a mystery of guys that I'm sitting in this chair, I don't know much about. I don't know much about the Thompson twins. I don't know much about Scooter Henderson. I haven't seen him play. And I think you've got to really be deep into it to really know what these guys can and can't do. You know, the college guys, it's easy. I mean, Anthony Black of Arkansas, I just watched him play right in front of me in person in Des Moines, right? Grady Dick of Kansas, they say he's the 10th overall pick. I just watched him play in person. You know, why don't I think Zach Edey is a draftable player based on how the league is played? Because I watched him play in person. I mean, just this past year, I watched him play in person 5 times this year alone. And you kind of look at it, you know what Zach can and can't do, and his game does not translate to the league. There are certain guys in the league that are specialty players. No getting around it. But they have to be specialty players with what they do. In other words, they have to be really great in their role and what they do, especially if you're a big man in the league. Jokic is a different kind of big man. In a lot of ways, Joel's a different kind of big man. But look at a guy like Robert Williams. Williams is not really doing much of anything different compared to the Robert Williams that played against Penn State when he was at Texas A&M. Right? He's expected to be a defender, a leaper, the fifth option on the floor offensively, clean up any mistakes, get layups, dunks, things like that, not expected to be a face-up shooter. But he's expected to be an all-star in his role that can help clean up any defensive mistakes made by a Tatum, a Brown, a Smart, whomever it may be. Draymond Green. Now, you may not like Draymond Green. Yes, Matt, we'll add Draymond to the long list of things you don't like.
Accurate.
A lot of things you don't like. Yet, Steve Kerr was asked yesterday about Green. He said, look, we handled the practice incident between he and Poole all wrong. He says, we never got back after it happened. And there's no question, a big part of that's Green's fault. Right? And part of that is you got to check it in at the door, and you got to be big enough to say, look, I was wrong. And it doesn't appear that he has done that. But Steve Kerr points out, moving forward, the Golden State Warriors, in his opinion, are not a championship team unless he is a part of it. He is a role player, and when everything is right for him, he is a star in his role. Hustle. Making those hustle plays, getting to the floor, getting to the glass, being a good rebounder, being a good defender. A guy that you know, I know he thinks he's a good outside shooter. He really isn't, but he can clean up around the basket, and he can get, you know, some shots, you know, in that 5 to 8 foot range, or, you know, dunks, layups, things like that. Plus, of course, the key part from a previous sentence, defending. And that's where you are in the league. That's why when you look at Luka Garza, National Player of the Year, why is he in the G League? Because his game does not translate to this level. Zach Edey is the National Player of the Year. His game does not translate at all at this level. Why is Hunter Dickinson not in the draft? For all this talk about, you know, his NIL deal and I didn't get seven figures at Michigan and blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is nobody asked the right questions. The first question you should ask is, why is he still playing college basketball? Because he knows and has been told by evaluators he's not going to get picked. Or if he does, it's going to be late in the second round and it's not going to be worth getting picked because he's going to end up in the G League. All right? I mean, that's how today's game is. So back to the top of the draft. These are all big-time athletes. Now, the first time I ever saw anything from Scooter Henderson was whatever the highlight packages they put out last night. Like, okay. Because I know nothing about these guys. Thompson Twins, Henderson, because they're do you think I sit there and go, hey, let's see what's going on with G League at night? Are you kidding me? No. Now, Webinyama, they've talked so much about him, you had to take a look at some stuff he's doing. You had to. You know, why is he considered to be the next generation, the next phenom in the league? San Antonio's going to get the first crack at getting him. And that was last night with the lottery. Detroit has had high draft picks. That's why they got Cunningham. I think they got him first overall. They got Jaden Ivey last year. But they're sitting there, and based on the odds, they're supposed to be one of the top three teams picking. They ended up fifth. You know, it's not your night win. All right, the ACC. We talked about it yesterday. We're going to talk about it again today. The Yankees have not been accused of cheating yet today. But I would like to point out that the day is not over yet. There are a lot of people that don't trust your unit. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. Some of it's warranted, some of it's not.
What percentage of each is it?
I would say it's 50-50, actually.
Care to revise that number?
I'm just going by how I see it.
Or the number of guys ejected over the last month? Or we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
OJ's intro song? No?
I could care less.
Yeah, but they're a fun team to be around. You guys are buttoned down and like, kind of dull. No? Just kidding. All right. So let's get to the comments made today by Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner. Now, you're always going to put the best face on anything. And so you do have to, again, keep that in mind with when the commissioner gets a chance to talk to people about, you know, what has just happened at your meeting. We all know that going into the meeting, there was a lot of talk about this. I don't know what they call themselves, the Magnificent Seven or whatever. I have no idea. Okay. But his comments today, and Brett McMurphy of Action Network, you know, has been following a lot of this, and we've had Brett on the show how many times? He said today, quote, this is on the subject of grantor rights. And he was asked about, Jim Phillips, about schools looking at grantor rights. He says, that's not a warning sign. These are schools that are under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. Now, let's start with this. Jim is absolutely right about that. They are feeling the stress and the pressure because of the deals that the SEC and the Big Ten have. There's no question about that. Jim Phillips goes on to say, reality, our conference is third in the country in media rights distribution. That's true. We need to close the gap with the top two. And to be honest with you, I don't see how. I'll get into that in a moment. As for the, quote, Magnificent Seven, okay, he says he's confident that they're on board. He says, what I've been told is we're all in this thing together emphatically. We believe in the ACC. We want to continue to work together. Okay. And that's how the meetings went at Amelia Island. And again, do you expect him to go out there and put a positive light to what is going on? Yes. But I keep going back to, you know, the grantor rights is something that is interesting. And yet again, when it comes to all this, I'm not going to sit here. Oh, okay, I'll start with this. Have I talked to people about that would be have a better knowledge of this than I would? Yes. Have I talked to anybody about any of this in the last 2 months? No. You know, now, and if you're wondering, how do you get a hold of people to talk to and so forth? Look, you got to remember, I'm going. I get the privilege of going to big events. You're at the Rose Bowl, and you get a chance to talk to people from all over the place about it. You're at the Big Ten basketball tournament. All the athletic directors are there, you know, things like that. So you do get a chance to pull a guy aside and just chit-chat about something. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Now, have I done any of this in the last 2 months? No. In fact, I've hardly talked about this the last 2 months. But I think there's got to be a level of common sense that is put into this. With, you know, and there's a timeline to this where you've got to put yourself, right, before I get to the timeline, ask yourself why Texas and Oklahoma are not in the SEC today and why USC and UCLA are not in the Big Ten today. Why? And it's simple. If the grantor rights were so easy to break, why are they still where they are? You notice Oklahoma and Texas finally paid $50 million apiece to go to the SEC 1 year early. Okay? They were invited 2 years ago. You know, all this stuff came out in the 21 season, right? Was it 21? So they've now played the 21 season, the 22 season, and they're about to play the 23 season, all in the Big 12. It's only the 24 season, which is the first year of the new ESPN SEC contract, that Texas and Oklahoma are going, and they're paying $50 million apiece to get out, which is about the price of an exit fee plus what the grant of rights would be. And again, use some common sense. Texas is a huge brand. Clemson and Florida State as brands are not in the same category as Texas. Texas is that level above brand-wise. And please, don't start talking about national championships and things like that. I'm talking in terms of the brand. And they've got a lot of money behind them, especially a lot of oil and energy money behind them. And yet, they did not break away from the Big 12 and get into the SEC early. Why? USC and UCLA, yes, there are some logistics, but you notice they're not joining the Big Ten officially until August 2nd. Why? The grant of rights with the Pac-12 runs out August 1st next year. Why are all these schools unwilling to break the grant of rights?
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. All right, Matt. Here's your moment. Daryl Morey at a press conference today. You are ready to rant.
The theme of the press conference was tone deaf. Completely tone deaf to where this team is, what this team needs, and what happened at the end of the season. It's that simple. Headlined by saying, scenario A is trying to bring back James Harden on a long-term deal. Did you not watch what happened in the playoffs? This guy doesn't jive to what this team needs, and he even mentioned that he wants to be himself. And being himself means being a ball hog and going off for 45 points a game like he did in games 1 and 4. He doesn't really want to share the basketball. He doesn't really want to be a team player. He wants it to be all about himself like it was during his Houston days, which is probably why he wants to go back to Houston. If the Sixers are going to go forward, Harden needs to leave. You need to focus this team around Maxey, who's a guy that is a team guy, that's not all about himself, but can score when you need to and can penetrate the ball when you need to, opposite Joel Embiid, and then surround those two with shooting. But it doesn't look like it. It looks like the Sixers are going to try and bring back James Harden and run him back to what? To losing in the second round again next year. Or maybe even worse. Who knows? The Sixers have a bunch of free agents they're probably going to lose in the offseason. I don't know how big of a losses there really be. And then it comes to the accountability. It just seems like he was kind of nonchalant about it. Like, dude, did you not see how embarrassed your team got in Game 7? I just didn't see really any true sincerity to trying to make the team better. I really didn't at all.
I can tell you, I don't think Maxey's a two. It's just my opinion. I think he's no better than a team's third best option. He's not a two. Question is, what twos are out there? I don't know. See, one of the differences, so they just play Boston, for example. All right. Boston has a 1A and a 1B. Tatum's 1A and Jaylen Brown could be 1B. Okay, fine. All right? But then they have Malcolm Brogdon. Well, Brogdon's a better... You give me a choice between Maxey and Brogdon, which guy do I want? I want Brogdon. You give me a choice between Jaylen Brown and Maxey, which one do I want? Well, I want Jaylen Brown. I mean, Jaylen Brown's an all-star. Brogdon is the best sixth man in the league, and he's better than your three. I mean, Maxey had some nice moments, but like, if you're going to be the two, that means you have to take on exponentially more responsibility, and you become more of a focal point of what's going on out there. I don't think he's a two. I really don't. I may end up being wrong about it, but I don't. I don't see it. As for Harden, I don't, what's Harden now, 33, 34?
Exactly. He wants a four-year deal, which is probably going to equal big money again.
There's nothing wrong with four-year deals. Oh, well, that's a different topic. But, I mean, that would get him to, what, 38? Yikes.
You know, I want no part of it. None. Especially after hearing that he wants to, quote-unquote, be himself.
All right. So let's talk about that for a second. Be himself. I see where you're coming from, because obviously being himself means because Harden is an extremely ball-centric player, right? So I look back at this past season for Penn State basketball. So this will be a college situation. Cam Winter, who just joined Adam Fisher's staff down at Temple. There's a way that Penn State was playing where they had three-point shooters on the floor, and the three-pointer in terms of point value meant a lot. That's why Andrew Funk, who had 27 against Texas A&M, was so dynamic for Penn State. Miles Dredd, Pickett ended up being a really good three-point shooter. You start going through the list of guys, and Seth Lundy was a terrific three-point shooter. So there was a period of time where Winter was shooting threes, and finally he got pulled aside by Micah and the coaching staff. And Micah's point to him was that, look, there's a certain way you play. You know what? You like to drive, get to a spot, take your shot. I said, I know it's a two. I know we talk about threes. Just play your game. And by telling him to play his game, it seemed to relax him because he got back to what he does best. And then in turn, as an offshoot of that, down the stretch in the last month of the season, you know, about the last 6 weeks of the season, after they had this, quote, talk, and he was doing that, he then started popping out and comfortably hitting threes within his game. So sometimes telling a player or to play their game that fits them is not always a bad thing. That's my point. It makes them more comfortable with what's going on, and then it might, based on the maturity of the player, then allow them to then fit into your overall concept as to what's going on. Now, whether James Harden can do that at this stage of his career, I don't know.
I say no. I just think he's too inconsistent, and I think really the whole season, but especially this playoff run, I think shows that. It's all or nothing with Harden. It's either he's going to go out and put up 45 and carry the team, or he's going to go 2-for-9 in Game 7 and play horrendous and turn the ball over 7,000 times.
What do you think about my thought about Maxey being a 3, not a 2?
I think he can be a 2. But here's the thing I'll say.
I don't.
If they can, they either need to go Bill around Maxey and Bede with shooting, and or if they find another guy that can penetrate and drive the ball, because Maxey at times was good with that with Harden. If they can find another guy that's just not as ball-centric as Harden, and you get that 1-2 punch of him and of that guy and Maxey driving and kicking out, and have like that dual threat. Then you have Embiid in the middle with some shooting. I can see that working too. But just Harden's ball centric game just doesn't work with Maxey. It stunts Maxey's growth. You need like a happy medium.
Maxey was 10 of his last 33 from the field. I mean, that's not good.
And I think part of it, too, this was the first year that Maxey was really adding the three-point game to his game. He really didn't do that in college. He was more of like a drive and find your spot kind of guy, like at Kentucky. Then he added the three-point shot, which has given him a little more leverage. If he gets more consistent with that and adding that to the game, that's how I think he can take the next level. But he needs to get more consistent with that.
Yeah. I mean, he did average 20 points a game this season. There's no question about that. Yeah, and he shot 41% in three this year.
And he was huge in game five in particular. And he wasn't awful. He didn't do nearly enough, but he wasn't awful in game seven. I think he had 17 in game seven.
He was 5 of 12.
Right? Yeah. Like I said, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't like awful as Harden and Embiid were. Maxey was one of the better players on the floor.
You want to know
for
what
the Sixers
plus
in game
minus?
Seven?
Do you want to know what his plus minus was for the game?
For game seven?
Yep.
It was probably minus, I'm sure.
How about minus 31?
Oh, that's a little lower than I thought.
Now, I'm not usually a big plus-minus guy. I'm not. I really am not a big plus-minus guy. Every once in a while, it'll tell a story about somebody. And so Dick and I will refer refer to it. If we think, boy, he really had a terrific game. Yeah, he did this and this and this. And then you say, hey, what was this plus? Yeah, that makes sense. He was a plus 22. Everybody else was like a plus 12, you know. You know, like then we will, but I mean, the number of times we actually look at a plus minus in the post game is usually limited. I think he's a 3, not a 2. Moving forward, but you are not enamored with Daryl Morey.
No, he's really fallen off the bandwagon for me. I liked him when the Sixers first brought him in. And I thought he did some good things to get this team better, but he's completely hit a wall for me right now. I have no idea what he wants to do, and I am not confident at all that he knows what the Sixers need to be a title contender.
All right. Well, so here, sometimes you pay dearly for a mistake that you made. And they're still paying dearly for the mistakes of Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons.
No question, and which was Brian Colangelo. And as I've said before, right, that was one of the more moronic moves that Josh Harris has ever made.
I mean, can you imagine Jason Tatum playing with Joel Embiid?
The Sixers probably would have won a title by now, or at least made an NBA Finals appearance.
You know, I mean, imagine that, because that's what they could have had. And Simmons, Matt, I never liked his game in college.
Me neither.
I mean, I'm watching him at LSU and I'm like going, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, okay. Like Detroit last year picked Jaden Ivey. I got it. Kings picks Keegan Murray. I got it. You know, I'm watching Simmons in college at LSU. I'm like, oh, I don't get it. I don't see what everybody sees here. Now, you can see he's a good passer. But I'm watching his offensive game and his shooting. And I'm like, I don't see it. And they're still paying for that because in the end, You know, they've got him. They had the what was it, the Hawks series where he just
he passed
up
the dunk in game seven. Yeah.
Right. And then so then they end up, you know, he has problems. He's sitting out. They end up trading him, which is the right move. And they traded for James Harden. Now, there's no question Harden is an upgrade as a player over Simmons. But the problem is they're still, in a lot of ways, paying for the Simmons thing. I mean, that's a big problem. When you're, you can talk about Harden all you want, but Harden is an offshoot of the mistake of drafting Simmons. In drafting Simmons was a mistake. I've really struggled. I mean, every time we'd have somebody on the show, they would talk about his positives, which is fine. I mean, because he does have it's not like Ben Simmons didn't have some positives. He did. Good defender, length. Right, good passer. I mean, but you know, part of this game is shooting. You can't shoot, and you feel like it held everybody else back because, I mean, it when it gets to a point where a player is open for a reason, that is not good for the other four players. This is not. I mean, now you've got somebody floating and they're really double teaming. Sometimes they can actually float and double team between two guys. So now you're in a lot of ways. If you pass it to the right, here comes the double team. Pass it to the left, here comes the double team because of him. Well, they upgraded the team by getting Harden. Now, Harden at least plays every game and so forth. We can complain about what he does and what he doesn't do, but he does more than Ben Simmons. But it's just, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. And Maxey's a really good three, but Maxey, I don't think Maxey's a two. And I don't know what two is out there to replace Harden, do you?
Yeah, I think that's also the problem. I saw something. I guess there's a possibility that Chris Paul is not going to return to the Suns next year. And a lot of people have been linking the Sixers to it. But I don't know if that's going to work. Just, A, I don't think the guy can really play that consistently and stay on the floor, first of all.
Chris Paul?
Yeah.
I think he is at the point now. Chris Paul, I thought 2 years ago he was, when the Suns got to the final, his playoff run was outstanding. He has not been the same player since.
Yeah, I think that was a last hurrah for him.
Yeah, you can now see each year the decline in Chris Paul. And part of being a really effective point guard is that if you have the ability to get your shot and make your shot, and you pick your spots to do it, they have to now respect that. And he's at the point now with his game where I can't respect his shot anymore on the floor. It's not consistent enough. So again, it goes back to the point. I can almost, you're open for a reason. I can now start floating a guy because I'm not as worried about your personal offensive production. So Jim Phillips this morning was asked, the ACC commissioner, if the ACC is considering expansion. We had to look at every option from day one. We discuss it frequently. Expand to who? Then he was asked about the end game with conferences. There's been a lot of conference expansion and retraction in schools moving from one conference to the next. I don't think that changes. The cycle is connected to media rights. National championships are great when you have multiple leagues. They then asked Jim Phelps whether Aaron Judge is a cheater. Ooh, boy, that's good.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
At that point, the press conference ended because he looked at everybody and said, all rise. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, I know we're... Again, we're talking about common sense when it comes to the... the TV deals. Again, where can the ACC get more money? Streaming? Well, no, they have a deal with ESPN, and guess what ESPN has? ESPN Plus. They don't really have a lot of options. Now, the ACC is going to get more money out of the revamped college football playoff. Everybody's going to get more money from that. So that's where they'll get more money, but it won't be anything that will close the gap on everybody else because everybody else is going to get money too. But that's the issue. That's the issue for them. And they're asking, where can I get more money? And again, if you are sitting there saying, well, they can get out of the grant of rights. The grant of rights, if Texas can't get out of the grant of rights and had to pay, why aren't they in the SEC now? They have the money. It's tough. Oklahoma, why aren't USC and UCLA playing in the Big Ten this year? Why are they waiting for their grant of rights to run out with the Pac-12? Those are legitimate questions to ask.
Plus, you're wasting money on lawyers trying to find any sort of way to get you out of this massive contract.
But they all agreed to it, and you have to put yourself in their shoes in 2016. In 2016, the first Big Ten contract, the six-year one, didn't exist at that point. The SEC had a network, ACC wanted a network. The Big Ten had a network, so they wanted to be able to carry all their football games, softball, every basketball game, so they wanted all that, so that's why they extended from 2027 to 2036. Now it turns out they're being hurt.